This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The 2024 Person of the Year from Time Magazine. Who will they name? We can tell you who's on the short list, and it's not short people.
Okay.
And you guys can tell us who you would pick from this short list. So basically, this has been going on since 1927, a person, group, or concept with the biggest impact. It can be for good or not so good. In 2023, Taylor Swift was the person of the year. In previous selections, they included, Volodymyr Zelensky of Ukraine.
Who's putting this on again?
Time Magazine.
Time, okay.
Yes,
that kind of helps focus.
So, here are those revealed this morning. And we're doing this in alphabetical order, not by picking the best, okay?
Don't you dare start posting bad Yelp.
So, one of the 10 candidates, Kamala Harris.
Oh, okay.
They talk about the fact that, she was brought in on the night of July the 21st and had to basically take an entire campaign, 107 days.
Like a relief pitcher who gives up a home run.
Yes, she did lose,
but
conceding the race. Excuse me, I'm coughing. That was not
like that's good comic timing.
I know what you're trying to make. But the point is,
On the list.
She is on the list. Another female on the list, Kate Middleton, Princess of Wales, making headlines this year and stirring the conversation about privacy and health.
Oh, that's right. She's had
abdominal surgery.
Right?
We hear cancer. We don't know details, but she is on the list. Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Who has long been known as a innovative disruptor. Now, he has won this not too long ago, because I thought when I first saw this list, I thought, well, he would be probably someone I would put at the top of possibility. But if he just won it, he was previously named Person of the Year in 2021.
What's interesting, you say he's long been known as a disruptor. I've always looked at him as it's like socially awkward dreamer. This year, he really became that disruptor. He kind of leaned into that, which is, I think, what made him such a
big impact. So it's not that you can't be a person of the year twice, but another, Yulia Navalnaya. And she has been in the spotlight after her husband, country's leading dissident, Alexei Navalny, died in February. So she's on the list. Benjamin Netanyahu on the list as well. Jerome Powell, chairman of the U.S. Federal Reserve, serving both under the Trump and Biden administration. So they talk about him being chairman, steering the ship on the economy, which was the number one issue voters talked about in exit polling. Joe Rogan, podcaster, the Joe Rogan Experience, is on the list. Also on the list, Claudia Sheinbaum, making history, sworn in as Mexico's first ever female president. Donald Trump is on the list as well. Political comeback, winning the 2024 election. So I think he's a likely one to win. And Mark Zuckerberg.
Nah.
Under the microscope, okay.
I mean, he's going to put him on the list, sure.
Yeah. He and other tech CEOs faced questioning during a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing on the impact of social media. So those are shortlist folks. Times Person of the Year.
If they're going to,
I don't know if things are going to change with also what's happened in Syria and other issues around the globe. But
who would sell the most magazines? Probably Donald Trump. I can't imagine.
I'm not going by who sells the most magazines.
I'm just saying, if you're a magazine, though, that's probably what you're going to do.
But I do think that he would be one of the top people just because of the fact of the comeback that he has had.
Love him or hate him, it happened, and it doesn't make sense to some people. Right. Makes perfect sense to others. It is really a fascinating story to watch.
Sure. With repercussions to come, shall see.
If he wouldn't just poo-poo the whole idea probably on his podcast, I would say Joe Rogan had the most impact.
I don't think so, though.
Just because he came out of, like, this was the year where people were like, everyone found out where Joe Rogan's been or who he was.
I don't know. I still think that there are people that, I think that was for people who pay a lot of attention. I think half of the country still would go, what?
I think he became part of the headlines, though, which is really fascinating.
I'm not denying his influence and such. I'm just saying when I look at person of the year and the impacts and all, I would put a Donald Trump, even a Kamala Harris, over a Joe Rogan, just because someone having to come in also and run an entire presidential campaign with 107 days to go is also a huge task.
And as I'm saying, I think Trump would get it. It's going to be.
I don't know if it matters so much. The winner. I think that you're looking at having impact and you know what they had to face. But I still think he will win it. We'll see. What do you guys think? And is there somebody not on the list? Because look, they're going to be deciding this. But is there anybody else that you would think who maybe didn't make the short list?
Ryan Seacrest.
Oh,
took
shut
over
up.
For Pat Sajak.
Oh, come on.
Proving that even when you kind of step slightly away from the spotlight, you can jump right back into your 19th job. Way to go, Ryan. You're an inspiration to us all.
Is there someone else you think would be the person of the year? And again, this is it's global. It's not just here in the United States. So is there somebody else you can think of that would, you know, stand out as being the person of the year outside of the ones we just talked about? You could certainly say that you support any one of the ones that we had just mentioned. But if there's someone else outside the box, by the way, before the break, the movie was Love Actually, with the kid who's the drummer who's like got the crush on the girl.
I feel like I've seen that before, but it's been a long time.
It's good stuff.
And obviously didn't leave a mark because I remember all those movie songs. Mm-hmm. I usually do.
We were also talking about your favorite Christmas songs. And of course, we have traditional that people make. Like there's certain songs that I love, especially religious ones. I mentioned O Come All Ye Faithful, O Holy Night. Those are my favorites. But, you know, someone said the older gospel songs, heartwarming, bring a tear to your eye. Another said for this time of year, their favorites are Daryl Hall and John Oates doing Jingle Bell Rock. Did I hear that one? I'm trying to. Chicago has a version of Let It Snow. And Christmas Time is Here. And Josh Groban's Oh Holy Night. That's a great one, too.
Yeah. In fact, if that comes on and I'm in the car, my wife will look at me and just go, shh. And then I have to stay quiet. That's what it was in our marriage vows. She's so in love with that song.
Which one?
The Oh Holy Night with Josh Groban.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I didn't grow up with
Celine Dion does a beautiful one, too. But she can sing a phone book and be beautiful.
I challenge her to do so. I didn't grow up with like this deep connection to these songs. So for me, it's all about finding these like quirky, fun songs that are just different. Mm-hmm. So I have this like weird list. Dominic the Donkey's always been up there because I like to say I've sung it on the radio for like 25. I know. Usually when you take off, I'll do it. I'll bring a bunch of people in here. We'll do a sing-along.
It's all right. I think it would be fun to do it. I just don't see it as being a fun song.
That's I'm trying to be kind and wait till you take a day off. And
you don't want me to be a buzzkill.
Well.
Kind of.
Okay, fine. I'll accept your answer. No, there's that. There's Christmas in Hollis, Run DMC. So different. And it's such a cool beat. I like stuff like that.
Okay.
And there's another one about it. I forget who it is. I think it's Dropkick Murphys. So they go, you haven't met my family or you think your family's crazy.
That.
You've never met mine. Mm-hmm. It's all about drinking. And it's like a real like blue collar, regular family getting drunk and having a good time. Probably not a real traditional Christmas by any standard, but
looking at the Billboard list. Now we were talking about what's, you know, top playing right now, which is Mariah Carey, and it always is. But Billboard does list it as of all time, All I Want for Christmas Is You being number one. Number two, they have Darlene Love, Christmas Baby, Please Come Home. from 1963. That's what I'm going to have to give a list. That's what I might forgetting that
You
one.
Know that. Christmas, baby, please come home.
I don't know if I know that
Christmas.
One.
You definitely did. Johnny, pull that up.
You're going to have to find Darlene Love, Christmas, Please Come Home. I'm trying to remember that. Nat King Cole's The Christmas Song is number three. I love that one.
Guaranteed within seconds of hearing it, unless it has a funky, weird intro. Once it kicks in, you're going to go, Okay. Oh, of course I know that. Die.
Wham, Last Christmas is number four. Number five, Bing Crosby's White Christmas. That's a great one. Number six, Brenda Lee, Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. Number seven, Jose Feliciano, Feliz Navidad. Run DMC's Christmas in Hollis is number eight.
There you go.
Just for you, Jason.
This is different. You know, you don't
number
hear
nine is Santa Claus Coming to Town with Bruce Springsteen.
Sure.
And number 10, Donny Hathaway's This Christmas. Oh, I know this song.
I told you within seconds, right? The title just reads. Just turn it down. Don't stop it, Johnny. Here's mine. Christmas. It's very close, right?
How did I not know that was Darlene Love?
Yes, and the one I was talking about was Dropkick Murphys' The Season's Upon Us.
Yeah.
So I was right about that. You should check that out. It's definitely just non-traditional.
I might have to play a whole bunch of non-traditional Christmas songs as we get closer to Christmas. We know that there has been a suspect arrested and now charged in the murder of Brian Thompson, who was the CEO of United Healthcare. People magazine has some new information coming out about this suspect. First of all, we have people confirming that 26-year-old, let me get his name, Luigi Mangione. First of all, he has been charged with murder. And friends are now revealing that Mangione had been dealing with severe back pain through the years. But they say he went what they call radio silent over the summer.
Yeah, something happened.
26-year-old charged with one count of murder and, you know, two counts of second degree criminal possession of a weapon and other charges. Accused of killing Thompson just before 7 a.m. Wednesday, December 4th. Friends are speaking out about living with the accused man at Surf Break. This is a co-living space near Honolulu's Ala Moana Beach Park. And he stayed there from January through June of 2022. Now, the founder of the co-living space recalled that Mangione suffered from chronic back pain from an apparent pinched nerve. And he had that for years. Now, again, this is according to the outlet. Martin said, I loved this guy. In some ways, I feel like my members are my kids. And Josiah Ryan, who is a spokesperson for this guy who runs this co-living space, told the AP that Mangione had undergone a background check before moving into that space.
Right.
Luigi was just widely considered to be a great guy. There were no complaints, no sign that might point to these alleged crimes that they're saying he committed. They do say that his back pain did get in the way of his day-to-day life at times. He went surfing. It didn't work out because of his back. The reason why we mention this is in one of his social media profiles, there's a picture of an X-ray of a back. It looks like, or to the neck area with
pins
or something in it. And people were like, what's this about? What's going on? This is not to paint a lovely picture of a person who's accused of murder. It's to kind of get us to understand
what his motive was, maybe
what the motive is, but also don't make assumptions that because someone he's Ivy League educated, right, comes from a family with a lot of money, went to a private school, I read he was the valedictorian, seemed to be a friendly guy, as someone texted us earlier, as someone who deals with mental health issues, you can be very smart, just like, you know, anybody else. People have mental health problems of all different incomes,
right,
and I guess education levels.
It's going to be really interesting to watch this because, and I'm not even talking about for the people who are like, let him go, he's a hero. I don't think he's a hero. He did something heinous and he's going to probably spend the rest of his life in jail. Seems like that's where this is going. But we've all heard stories of people who kind of had everything going for them. Something happens. They have some sort of accident. They're dealing with chronic pain. Next thing you know, they're addicted to painkillers and things go downhill and you make bad decisions. I'm not saying that's what started this.
Yeah, we don't know what happened.
I'm saying
here,
in general,
right?
Like, can you imagine being in a situation where this kid literally seems like he had everything going for him? We don't know what happened after that to get him to this point. But,
yeah,
it makes you wonder. What would make someone apparently had everything, including a lot of money from his family, what would make them throw it all away by doing something so violent and horrible?
Right.
Well, doesn't make sense.
And the point is also, how did anybody, he's so well known to people. How did nobody know? It took a stranger at McDonald's to report him. And you got to wonder, did family and friends go, oh, that looks a lot like him, but just say, there's no way. I mean, can you imagine if somebody looked in your family that you would never expect? We're hearing this from people that have been involved in his life throughout, that they would never have expected this.
Yeah.
Never. You know, you hear about sometimes the loner.
I was going to say, he's the opposite. He's right. The exact opposite. Within his social media pages got scrubbed within a couple, like an hour of his arrest. Mm-hmm. But the stuff they were able to pull off, speeches at graduation, talking about being proud of all the men on the stage and how they're going to accomplish great things. And it's like, how does that happen? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit any of the molds that we are, the stereotypes we've been talking.
I think first I thought this was some professional. He just seemed to have no hesitancy, like knew what he was doing, whatever that may be. However, I was going to get to the line of, you know, you think of like a Ted Kaczynski or somebody who is, although he never approached victims, he was the type who just sent things through, you know, other ways.
Drifted into madness, too.
But I was thinking more along the lines of someone who is kind of a loner, maybe like a lonely guy on his own, and maybe didn't have money. If he did have problems with health, it would not someone who has all the opportunities that other people wouldn't have to deal with something like that. Again, we don't know everything. He has a 2-page note, which they're calling kind of a manifesto.
Yeah, he lashes out. It's clear he's lashing out specifically at healthcare and the corporations that run this and deny stuff. Because I've seen people make this crack. Oh, he seems to hate corporations all so much, but he'll go to Starbucks and McDonald's. Like, okay, again, he probably doesn't have a personal issue. This was very personal. Yeah, you could tell. And it seems like we're going to find out so much information about this. Will anything change out of it? I don't know. Hmm. But conversations are happening for the first time. And it's a sad, good thing that could come of this, I guess. I can't use the word good there.
When you're saying positive. Conversations about the health insurance industry.
People are talking about just how bad things can be for people. Even though those conversations have happened, it seems like the country's kind of primed now for a bigger conversation.
Nothing will happen.
You're probably right.
It will just be an awful thing that happened. He'll end up going through the system, and we'll still have health insurance companies making decisions that affect people's lives and quality of life.
The local business community update. The local business community update.
For the last time in 2024, let's welcome back Bob Durkin, President, CEO of the Greater Scranton Chamber of Commerce.
As always, great to be here. I cannot believe we've been doing this through the course of this entire year.
So 2024 soon will be in the books. We're looking obviously at 2025 for Northeast PA. You do an annual membership directory. Comes out in February, and it's a great networking tool. You can think of it as a phone book for local businesses, but it's online as well. And you have a theme. What's this year's theme?
Dream big.
Ooh.
And, dream big.
Yeah. And we touch a few different notes with this one. Of course, we speak about the chamber itself and our multiple affiliates. And then likewise, thinking beyond that, you know, looking at the history of the region, there's an awful lot of big dreams that have been fulfilled over the years. And some folks don't really realize that.
Yeah, because they grew up, if you're younger and you've grown up with all of these places like Montage Mountain and the Rail Riders, which were the Red Barons. So we had thinking big that led us to where we are. There's other things as well. What do you look at as you look through Northeast PA that are concrete examples of how we were thinking big?
Yeah. Results from dreaming big.
Let's go back a little further and say Montage Mountain. Montage Mountain itself, 40 plus years ago, nothing but a watershed. And it was the idea of creating a ski resort, the genesis of which was from the Greater Scranton Chamber of Commerce. It was a spinoff group of leaders from the chamber who created Montage Inc. And with that, built the early iteration of Montage as a ski resort. And the big dream then wasn't to build a ski resort. In fact, that was just a means to an end, right? Mm-hmm. So you see all of the development up there, the residential development, Glenmara, the shops at Montage, all of that stemmed from the big dream of saying, all right, let's do something with this mountain.
And it went to Red Barons, became Rail Riders. And then with Montage, we also then ended up with an amphitheater and a concert venue and just really great stuff.
All those pieces came together because of that first big dream to do something up at that mountain.
Right.
But, you know, again, you know, being the chamber guy, I also look back to economic development activities across northeastern Pennsylvania through the Scranton Lackawanna Industrial Building Company, SLIBCO, our building arm of the chamber. We have built 15 different business and industrial parks across Lackawanna County. That all happened post-World War II, so we're going back even a lot further than the Montage situation. But it wasn't just Lackawanna County. In Luzerne County, you have CanDo with Humboldt Industrial Park, which has been a tremendous success. Hanover Industrial Park, Center Point, Grimes Industrial Park in Pittston over the history. So the chambers across the region have been a part of the big dream. I mean, these were big investments at the time and to some degree, risky investments for the chambers and their industrial development arms. But just look at all the jobs, look at all the businesses, look at the private investment. Think about the whole idea of Lake Wallenpaupack.
Right.
I mean, Lake Wallenpaupack didn't exist. It's a man-made lake. And somewhere along the line, PPNL back then, when they were generating energy, decided to create a dam. And they bought all this incredible amount of land, dammed it up, and flooded it. And that's what Lake Wallenpaupack is. And think about what's happened up there in that part of northeastern Pennsylvania, not just from a recreational standpoint, but economic development standpoint.
I mean, it's Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come.
Right. You talk about dream big, but how do you deal with people who might have ideas? Do you actually have meetings or is the public invited to or business leaders invited to come up with ideas? I mean, I guess you have your own conversations. How do you get people to talk about dreaming big and then, you know, giving you ideas on what they think would work?
I would contend that the structure of our chambers of commerce are a starting point. It almost always, it seems to me, starts with what is the need? And the best way for these issues to play themselves out in a positive way is when there is a legitimate need that the community recognizes. The chamber team that we have, our job is to bring together community leaders, the chamber board members. Part of their responsibility is to be the visionaries to help us bring to the table some of the big picture and big ideas. And then it's the staff's job to take those ideas and work them through.
One step at a time, not 100 or 1,000 steps.
Right.
All at
That's
once.
Right, right. I always get a kick out of an old mentor of mine used to say, you eat an elephant one bite at a time. So the elephant might be the big dream.
Yeah.
But to get there, it takes a lot of little steps.
The annual membership directory for the Greater Scranton Chamber of Commerce doesn't come out till February. But again, the theme, dream big. I love this. Can I be on the cover?
We'll have to work on that, Jason.
Bob Durkin, thank you for being on with us again. We do this the second Tuesday of every month. Yeah. And the podcast lives forever.
Let me say, as we're wrapping up the year on this, that how much I appreciate you and Nancy and WILK.
Bob Durkin, CEO, President, Greater Scranton Chamber of Commerce. This has been the Local Business Community Update again. We'll talk again in 2025. That doesn't even sound real. Storm Tracker 16 meteorologist Joe Snedeker.
Good morning.
Joe! Greetings and salutations. Nance, is there any snow visible up way where you live in Susquehanna County? Anywhere in sight?
I think there were just like a tiny little patch here and there, like near where my husband had plowed it off of the driveway into a pile. Yeah, just a tiny bit.
That is the correct answer. Yeah, I'm up at 1,600 feet above sea level, and my daughter's snowman that she made with her boyfriend is still in the yard. And where it's piled up, it still exists. But, man, that's going to be gone today. It's going to be mild all day today, tonight, and tomorrow. So I don't know. Did the ski lodges not get a long-range weather forecast? They were pumping out all that snow.
Right.
But I'm going to guess that a lot of what they made is going to be lost, you know, today, tonight, and tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, you don't have to do it again. Keep people keep employed,
pumping,
right?
Keep pumping.
They should have called me. I would have told them this was going to happen.
Well, you
know?
did say it last week. You told us it would warm up.
That's what I mean. And then when they were making the snow, I'm like, I wonder why they're doing this. Why bother? So, it'll be gone, folks. Today, if you're just getting up and outside, it's going to be in the 40s to near 50. But for some reason, maybe more mental, it feels warmer, doesn't it? Or is it just me?
You are warmer. No, I know what you're saying. It's been so cold. It feels like it's in the 50s or something. It feels a little warmer.
Yeah, it does. It does. Yeah, but it's still only near 40, 43, 4, 5 now. But yeah, getting up to near 50 today, cloudy. a few patchy, drizzly shots, some fog, and maybe a passing shower. But if you have anything you have to do outside today, much of the day will be dry. Tonight, there's going to be more steady rain forming, but temperatures actually going up tonight while you're sleeping. And I don't know about you guys, but I love in the summer months when the windows open and you hear this. The road is wet and a car goes by. It's...
I'm asleep. No? I'm asleep. I know exactly what you're talking about. I love that sound. That's a nice sound. I don't want to stand next to it, but it sounds nice. Yeah.
Yeah, the soothing sound of cars on wet roads. That'll be the sights and sounds you can get tonight. Leave the window open. Lows near 55 tonight. That's like June low temperatures. Tomorrow, all day rain. Morning, afternoon, evening, some heavy at times. 1 to 2 inches of rain. We can handle it. We can use it. And it could hit 60 in parts of the area tomorrow. That rain will quickly end as some wet snow between about 5 and 9 p.m. tomorrow. But I think the roads will be wet and just a slushy inch or two at the end of the rain tomorrow. Then Thursday, cold and windy, 32 degrees, a few flurries, but much of the day should be dry. Friday, even though it's only going to be in the low 30s, the sun will be out. It'll feel good. And if you have any plans for this weekend, we're talking temperatures in the 40s and no big precipitation events, just maybe some rain showers on Sunday. Could be a few wet flakes, but it doesn't look like much. It's going to stay warm much of next week with some ups and downs. And now we're already talking about days before Christmas. 2 weeks today, it is Christmas Eve. So I think it's going to be a milder Christmas, and we'll see what happens as 2 weeks is a little too far out for specifics with current meteorological standards.
That's true. All right. Well, yep. Your wife just had a birthday, right?
The lovely Dawn, 58, and she had a birthday on December the 5th.
Yes. The reason I ask is, now my daughter's birthday is this coming Friday, the 13th, and it's a big one because she's 21. It's a big one. So buying Christmas gifts when they have a birthday close by, it's always, like, fun, isn't it? Like, so at least hers is a little bit earlier. But are you ready for her Christmas gift? Because we had talked about a birthday gift.
Well, don't you sit down with your husband and say, let's not do this, or no, do you still do it?
Usually I still do something, but, you know, getting something big? No, not really. But
yeah,
something.
Yeah. We don't do that. We say, let's take care of the kids, let's have a good time, but we don't have to do that. That's
right,
the beauty of being married 31 years, you get over it.
So you do the birthday gift, you just don't do the Christmas gift.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Why can't we get over the birthday stuff? Yeah, you're right.
Because that's their
odd
special day, I guess.
yeah, that is odd that we embrace the birthday thing, but the Christmas, no, we're done with that. Oh. Interesting.
All right. Well, I was just curious because, you know, you put a lot of thought into that birthday one, but Christmas, Scrooge.
Something about marriage.
Yeah.
It makes you not want to be selfish at times.
What about you, Jason? You still go through the motions with Christmas being a married man?
No. I would have, but my wife is just like, you know, here's what Santa's getting me, and I'm already using it. I was like, what? Like, we need this and this. No, every once in a while, I'll try to surprise her. I'll take the kids out maybe and say, let's pick something up for mommy, and then my daughter. But the thing is, my daughter's at an age where she just says, oh, opportunity for me to buy stuff. And I'm like, no. So, yeah, I'll get her. Yeah.
But your wife still buys stuff for you guys
That's
to give
nice.
The kids, right? The kids still get gifts.
Talking to me?
Yes, the kids still get gifts.
Yeah, so I think that's the out. Now that he said that, I think that's the out because we both have some neutral ground to agree on. You're like, let's not worry about us. Let's get the kids stuff. So you can't do that around birthdays. I can't say to my wife, I'm not going to get you a birthday gift. I'm going to save it for the kid's birthday.
Yeah.
No gifts. Won't even say happy. You know the next word is.
Oh. All right, we shall talk tomorrow.
Try it, though.
All right. See you guys.
Bye. I still do something. I would want to not give anything. It just doesn't have to be a pricey item. Something that, like, hey, open this.
You know what would change his opinion on all that is if he was like, if he decided he was going to go forward with that plan to cut somebody out, the second he found out that they may be upset by it, that would change everything. Because
right.
He's not, you know, none of us are monsters. Sometimes
they obviously don't care. He and his wife are, like, cool with it.
Yeah, but if his wife was like, I really miss your gifts, and he was just like,
yeah, he would definitely
sucks,
do it, I think.
Yeah, he's not a monster, is he?
I just think they've agreed. And I think a lot of people do that. They go, hey, we get what we need all year long. We don't need to get anything, you know, outside of the ordinary. But I just like to give something, at least something to open.
So, and they know you knew.
Well, I just feel like I feel like it's fun. I like to watch people open the presents too. So, coming up, we'll play our celebrity game. But first, some of the things that happened on this day. It is December the 10th. Poet Emily Dickinson was born on this date, 1830. I didn't realize she died when she was only 56 years old.
But, wow, that's...
Yeah. Meanwhile, on this date in 1869, women granted the right to vote in the Wyoming Territory. First legislation of its kind in American history. How about that? 1901, the King of Sweden distributed the first Nobel Prizes in accordance with the will of the late inventor Alfred Nobel. So there we go. That's why it's Nobel Prize Day. I don't know if you knew that, but today is. On this date in 1936, King Edward VIII signs the Instrument of Abdication. This was a big deal back then, giving up the British throne so he could marry the American divorcee, Wallis Simpson. On this date, 1966, Good Vibrations by the Beach Boys hits number one on the pop chart. I didn't even know about this. In 1971, Frank Zappa fractures his skull, breaks one of his legs in several places after being pushed off the stage and into the orchestra pit in London by the jealous boyfriend of a female Zappa fan. I didn't even know that. That's crazy.
That is nuts.
And on this date in 1994, Yasser Arafat, Shimon Peres, and Yitzhak Rabin received the Nobel Peace Prize, pledging to pursue their mission of peace in the Middle East. And here we are, how many years later, right?
Nailed that one.
Shame. All right, let's play a little game.
It's the celebrity birthday game.
We don't have a lot of people on this list.
And do pets.
I'm going to try. No? Okay. Kenneth Branagh. Is that how you say it? Branagh? Oh, anyway, he's a writer, director, actor, Dead Again, Wild Wild West, Harry Potter, and the Chamber of Secrets.
Yeah, I'm going to say yes. He's 68.
64.
Oof.
Susan Day. She was in the Partridge Family and then later on in L.A. Law. How old is she?
75.
72.
Come on. This game is fixed.
Help me with this name. Raven Simone? Is that how you say it?
Cosby Show.
Yeah, the Cosby Show.
When Rudy got a little to that awkward stage, like, we need a cute kid. Raven Simone. was the replacement Rudy. Raven Simone is, she's probably 35 now.
39.
Whoa. Crazy. Oh, my God. That's crazy.
Celebrity chef Bobby Flay has a birthday today.
Flay today, birthday, yay. He's 58.
60. So close enough.
Oh, I got that one. Finally,
yeah, good for you. And finally, get a football player, Joe Burrow, quarterback on the list today.
The Bengals. Joe.
The Bengals. Burrow. Did they not win against Dallas yesterday? Yes, they did.
Yeah, they did. They did win. They did win last night at a football game. They won.
Yeah, they did.
I got my tense wrong there. Joe Burrow is... 31.
He's 28.
Son of
28. If it's your birthday today, happy birthday. If it's your anniversary, happy anniversary. Want to mention, just again, speaking of sports, Penn State is in the college football playoff bracket up against SMU in the first round. And this is going to be in a little less than 2 weeks. The number 6-seeded Nittany Lions and number 11-seeded Mustangs kick off at noon on Saturday, December 21st. It's one of the biggest games in history of Beaver Stadium. If you're lucky, if you get to go there, right? Penn State calls for a whiteout for this game. It will be on TNT. Now, ESPN, though, did strike a 5-year agreement with TNT to sublicense select college football games. So the playoff games.
Yeah.
They'll be airing on TNT, the Penn State game and also the Texas-Clemson game. Even though it airs on TNT, ESPN is overseeing production of every CFP game. So it will be an ESPN crew broadcasting from Happy Valley. Of course, you want to listen to the game and listen to it on the Penn State football, broadcast, which we have here.
Where?
Here on WILK.
Like in
we
this
will
room?
Have that for you.
Oh, you mean on the radio?
10:30 in the morning on the December 21st is the pregame, and then you can hear the full game right here on WILK. Your Penn State station, again, the kickoff is at noon.